For a few minutes, I want to think about Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Five names here. Depends how you divide this passage, but we're going to say there are five names here given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to take just about a minute on each one of them this evening. Your name says so much about you. It's amazing, you know, you hear certain names and you immediately think of certain things. Mary Berry, for example. If you say the name of Mary Berry, you'll know it's synonymous with good cooking. Or if you hear the name of Usain Bolt, you'll know it's the fastest man on the planet. Or you hear the name of Stephen Nolan, you think contentious journalism, perhaps, when you hear his name. Or Bill Gates. You think of Microsoft computers. You think of just a name, and we could go through many such names. And once you've heard them, there's something immediately identifiable with that name. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, five names are given to Jesus Christ. And each of them speaks about him in a different way and says something slightly different about him. And as I say, let me spend just about a minute on each one of them here this evening. First of all, he shall be called Wonderful. The opposite of wonderful is dull, boring, indifferent, plain. But there's nothing dull or boring or plain or unexciting about Jesus Christ. Even reading that passage earlier on in Luke chapter 2 and the baby being laid in a manger, surely the shepherds who came and were told that the sign would be a baby in a manger, they must have stood and wondered. The choir had announced his birth, the angelic choir, and yet when they got there, this baby was in a manger. This was wonderful. The choir of angels declared his praise, and yet he's just born. A star moved over his birthplace, and wise men eventually were to come bearing fabulously expensive gifts. The wonder of it all. Then there was his wonderful life. His wonderful death, his wonderful resurrection, his wonderful ascension into heaven, and his wonderful second coming when he will come to judge the living and the dead. To be wonderful is to have people wonder at you. To have people stand and shake their heads and just say, "This is amazing. This man is wonderful. This man astonishes me. This man amazes me." That was Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. Secondly, Counselor. A counselor. What is a counselor? A counselor is someone who speaks words of wisdom. Someone whose words the prophet Isaiah later on will speak about the one who will come. And when he speaks, his words bring inner healing. There's people who, when they speak, they say really cutting, hurtful things. But when Jesus speaks, he speaks words of kindness and words of wisdom. And he always knows the right word to sustain the weary. A counselor gives guidance and interprets God's word for specific times and specific people. And when you read through the Gospels and you read about the times that Jesus spoke, there was something astonishing about his wisdom and the counsel that he was giving to people on different occasions. Even as a 12-year-old boy, sitting with the Bible teachers in the Jerusalem temple, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers as a 12-year-old boy. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount in our midweek meetings. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had finished these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. In Luke chapter 4 in Nazareth, the people wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And the soldiers who were sent to arrest him, when they got to Christ and they went to arrest him, they fell back to the ground. They returned to their masters empty-handed, and their master said, "Well, where is he?" And they said this, "Never man spake like this man." I'm always amazed when I read the Gospels, when Jesus had people come to him and say really difficult things or ask really difficult questions, he never was stuck for an answer. I'm often stuck for an answer. I'm often standing going, what should I say here? Jesus never had to say, well, what should I say here? And go away, maybe having said nothing. He always knew the right thing to say. And what he said was always worth listening to. You never heard Jesus Christ and went away and said, well, there wasn't much in that. He always said words of wisdom. He always had an answer for his enemies. He never spoke with sarcasm or nastiness or insult. Yet he always gave those enemies something to think about, as well as counseling and encouraging the disciples and shaping their lives and their ministries with the gracious words that came out of his mouth. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Thirdly, Mighty God. What a strange name to give to a child. Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Very strange name for a child. What could be less like Mighty God than a newborn baby? Apparently in the streets of London this year, there's been a beggar holding a sign that says, don't just look down on me, do something. And you know, that's what God did. He didn't just look down on planet Earth and just shrug his shoulders and say, well, what can I do about it? The lives that are messed up, well, there's nothing I can do about those lives messed up by sin. He did something. He came down into this world in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave his Son. He so loved the world that he gave his Son. And this child grew up, and this child grew up as Mighty God. He forgave sins. He walked on water. He calmed the storm. He expelled demons. He raised the dead on at least 3 different occasions. He restored sight to a man born blind. He cured a cripple of 38 years. He cleansed lepers. The Mighty God. We see it in his life and we see it in his death, as on the third day he rose from the dead, and the Bible talks about the power of an indestructible life. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Fourthly, Everlasting Father. Again, a very unusual title to give to a child, to call a child Father. But it was indicating what this child would grow up to do and what this child would grow up to be. Think of what fathers do for their children. They give their children life to start with, but then they love their children. They're protecting to their children. They discipline their children. They provide for their children. But sadly, earthly fathers pass away and die. And at Christmas time, many of us are more than aware of fathers and grandfathers who are no longer with us at family get-togethers. But this everlasting Father never passes away. This everlasting Father never gets it wrong. We earthly parents get it wrong. This everlasting Father never gets it wrong. He is the one who loves, who defends, who disciplines, who cares, who provides, who never passes away. And Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father. Lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. And the world cries out for peace. Syria, Sudan, Iraq, Afghanistan. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. One day in the future, when the kingdom of God is revealed and unveiled in the last day, all wars will be abolished, all disputes will be settled, injustices will be gone, sickness will be done away with, death will be done away with. That day will come. But in the meantime, let us not forget that Christ has made peace through his blood shed on the cross. And men and women who need reconciled to God need go to the cross. If you've been fighting God or resisting God, then lay down your arms, throw in the towel and go to Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. And the message of Christmas is not so much the crib, but the cross. Because he was the prince born to die. You remember whenever the wise men came, they came bringing gold, which was for a king, incense, which was for a priest. The priests offered incense in the temple. But the myrrh was a really strange present to bring for a child. Myrrh was used mostly for embalming corpses. But it was a sign that this was the child born to die. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And the message of Christ, the Prince of Peace, is be reconciled to God. We implore you on Christ's behalf, says the Apostle Paul, be reconciled to God, because he is the Prince of Peace and he made peace through his blood shed on the cross. So five names for the child born at Bethlehem: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But let me ask you, is he these things to you? Is he wonderful to you? Is he your counselor? Is he your mighty God? Is he your everlasting Father? Is he your Prince of Peace? If not, come to him tonight. Come to him. Even what more perfect day could there be for coming to Christ than on this Lord's Day, this Christmas Day, for he is the altogether lovely one who shed his blood for you on the cross. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Therefore, turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. I love that verse. You know, he will freely pardon. There's no cost involved. You don't have to do anything except turn to him, and he will have mercy. And he will freely pardon. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Call him that tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for these names for Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Bible is full of names for Jesus Christ. Many that he gave to himself, many that others gave to him. And we thank you, Lord, that he is the desire of the nations. And we have seen tonight why Jesus is desirable. And we praise you, our Father, for what this passage of Scripture tells us about him. And we praise you for our Savior and what he has done on our behalf. Help us, we pray, Father, to continue to marvel at him. Help us, we pray, our Father, that our hearts would go out after him, that we would be moved in the depths of our being, Lord, not just listening and not just hearing, but also being moved, weeping for our sin, moved towards Christ out of love, and our Father, worshiping, like the wise men who fell down on their faces before him, worshiping the Christ who has been born. Father, we praise you, and we pray you'll continue with us in our service. In his name, amen.